Hey everyone, welcome. It's We Watch Stuff 195. I'm Jeremy. Joining me as always is Shahid. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Enjoying my 4-day weekend. Hope everyone's enjoying their day on this lovely or rainy day, depending on where you're living.
Yeah, well, it's very nice here, but well, it's the rain's been well needed. So, and as I said on Sunk Rainy Audio, I'll try not to sniff into the mic too much. So, yeah. So we were off last week, and then we're back this week. Well, I don't know. A week off sometimes helps because we've got a little bit of an idea of what's going on with the, I guess we'll call them Arrowverse shows, the CW shows, I guess, because since Arrow's going away. We finally have a Catwoman. We lost a Batman villain and a whole bunch of other stuff. But that all waits because fresh off of last night from our recording was week 3 of the wrestling war. And I saw NXT. I thought NXT was fine. I'm still amazed Tommaso Ciampa's back already. They even said it was 7 months. I'm like,
borrow time.
Well, didn't I think they even mentioned like he had 4 major surgeries in 2 years, and both knees, his shoulder, and now his neck, and it's like, man,
we've been down this road before. And we know exactly how it ends. Like, we think about it. We just, like, let's be seeing him and Tegan Knox is like, yeah, borrow time.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That's funny. That was kind of a theme of the show, wasn't it? Major injuries coming back. Because even Finn Balor, his promo kind of lent itself to, yeah, well, you know, I've been down. And I get the feeling he, like, the whole story with him is that he's coming back to NXT because of how bad it's gotten.
That's what NXT is for a lot of. I mean, that's a good reason to use it for somebody like him, because it's like, it's there, and if you know the opportunity is there, take advantage of it. No, I watched both of them. Like I said, NXT was fine. It had some good matches. Like, it wasn't anything bad on it. It was just like, you know, it wasn't like a try to be like a takeover show. It was just, you know, like a good episode of NXT that was 2 hours instead of 1 hour.
Yeah. And there was nothing, like, I'm still not sold on Damian Priest, but at least, like, him going over, like, beating Pete Dunne, it kind of sucked that was the main event because you couldn't get a proper reaction. Because beating Pete Dunne is, like, something mm-hmm. big.
Yeah, even like cheating to win, but it's still, you know, that helps because then, like, you know, Pete Dunne lost because he cheated. And I was surprised that was the main event, but they were hyping that. That's the thing about NXT. Like, they hype their main events, like, at least a week to 2 weeks in advance. Mm-hmm. So they give enough time for it to be, like, a big deal. So, you know, yeah, but then watch NXT, like, you know, I know you like monster matches and seeing mm-hmm. Keith Lee and Dominik Dijakovic was always fun. Boy, those two and Roderick Strong in the same ring. I'm like,
yeah.
No, because NXT tends to avoid doing that. Like, I talked to a couple people, like, you know, they keep their big guys wrestling the big guys and the small guys wrestling the small guys for the most part. And having Roderick Strong in the ring with both of them was like, you can't watch that and not notice the size disadvantage. And I'm sure they'll talk about it in commentary. That'll be the story of the match.
Yeah, because it's well, we were at the NBA game last night, and like Andre Drummond was there and Cody Zeller. They're both 7-footers. And then there's another guy that's way short, and the Leafs goes, that guy's really short. And I go, he's my height. Like, it's all perspective. So when Roderick's in the ring, well, Velveteen Dream's what, pretty tall.
Yeah.
But he's not gargantuan tall, like Dijakovic is, and then the wideness of Keith Lee.
Yeah, it's not just like I did a show with my friend Rich. We were talking about like size and wrestling because that's come up lately. It's not necessarily height so much as it was like height and width. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's kind of like we talked about the whole thing, like how Chad Gable's dealing with this whole shorty crap. Ugh. And I'm like, he's an inch shorter than Ricochet and Andrade.
I didn't realize
so how that. He's 5'8", they're 5'9". They're considered regular size and he's short. Like, I don't... And it's just funny because it's like they're real arbitrary about how they pick their heights and things. Like, you know, Roderick Strong's not small. like as a normal human being, he's just going to look small in the ring with those two.
Yeah. And especially, but the thing is, and this was something AEW covered last night, where Jim Ross was really harping on the speed. Like, if you're a much smaller opponent, you've got to be faster. So I was like, okay, and it kind of makes sense. So in that case, like next week, I'm looking forward to it. It should be crazy. Mm-hmm. But I also can't see any way Roderick Strong loses already. When
he gonna win? He gonna steal a pin?
That's what I'm figuring. Yeah.
Yeah, like you know, the two big guys take each other out. He gets to sneak three count, but you never know because it's like they've been funny about like you know title changes. Like think about it. What's his name? Leo Rush comes back and within 2 weeks he's the champ.
Yeah. And then it kind of made sense because now Drew Gulak's part of SmackDown, which I'm talking about how from like a booking standpoint it made sense. Not that Drew Gulak's on SmackDown, but yeah. Did you talk about the draft at all? Like,
no, kind of quick just, aside. I mean, it was stupid.
Yeah,
that was their side. Like the presentation of it, the fake you know execs and everything like that, and then the draft choices. Just dumb. I'm like, I mean, because then I saw like you know when they had to trade into like the unsigned people. I'm like, and you trying to tell me in WWE land, Mandy like you know not even like talking about like Cesaro. I'm like, Mandy Rose is not getting drafted. That, come on, now.
Kevin and I went over that too. Like, I can't
it ain't
remember
no way. Like, it's no way in the world. Like, we know, especially in like WWE land, that somebody like her is like, oh, whoa, we just forgot about her.
But it's like, did they? Like, oh, wait a minute. And, because like, her and Sonya Deville, what are they? Fire and Ice? No.
Fire and Desire.
That's it. Like, they have a tag team name, for Christ's sake. And you don't take them. And like, the dumbest thing is, they Raw drafted Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss individually, when they could have just taken them as a tag team.
Mm-hmm.
And then they traded them individually instead of as a tag team for future considerations. Like, what do you...
Yeah, and not only that, it's like, you say, oh, maybe they forgot. I'm like, Liv Morgan got drafted.
That's what I'm getting at. And that was the point I was making on the Stunt Granny show with Kevin. You've got these people, you're trying to tell me, and I can't remember who the example was, but as much as I like him, don't get me wrong here, as much as I like Cedric Alexander, you're taking Cedric over Cesaro? Like, not even that high, just in general.
I mean, it's kind of like I forgot who got picked. Who, like, Drew McIntyre was, like, the third pick.
Yeah.
Overall, I'm like, yeah, and I'm like, come on now. Like, I'm looking at some of those picks, and I'm like, it was no rhyme or reason to it.
No.
It was just names thrown how they were just acting, and... Yeah, that was my thought. That was my thought of draft. Like, yeah. It was just silly. And the biggest thing is just how they basically like, wiped out the history of Kofi Kingston.
What you mean? The draft
was like, oh, we draft the New Day. They're known for being like the longest, you know, tag championship. I'm like, so the last 7 months of his career didn't happen? Like, he was just champ last week.
Yep.
You guys told us that was a big deal. Last time I checked, when SmackDown comes on, they show like the four people on the poster. He's one of the four, next to Roman Reigns and like two women. So, which is funny. It's like those two, Becky. It was like those two, Becky Lynch and Charlotte, and Becky Lynch and Charlotte on Raw.
Yeah. And that makes you. I mean, I guess they couldn't do. I guess they can change it, obviously, which they will. But at the same time, why even do that? Just
something happened with Charlotte because Fox was hyping the hell out of her being on there. She was showing up on the events. She jumped on posters like she was going to be like one of the faces. And then all of a sudden, she's not.
I'm wondering if Andrade was supposed to go to SmackDown, but the way they do stuff, if Andrade goes, Zelina goes, Aleister goes.
Yeah, they kept all the couples together this time.
Which is nice.
And Charlotte moving affected everybody else. Because it's like, you know, Charlotte affects Andrade. Andrade affects Zelina. Zelina affects Aleister Black. So it's like, it's not just one person. That had to have been like something had to change with that. Like, between that and, like, all of a sudden, you know, now Bruce Pritchard has Eric Bischoff's job. Like, was Eric Bischoff there long enough to even do anything?
Well, according to, if you, depending on what you read or listen to, he wasn't doing a whole lot anyways.
Yeah, so I'm like, I didn't understand what was the point. Like, if you just wanted Bruce Pritchard, just get him. People was shocked when Bischoff got the job in the first place.
Depending on what you read, there's a lot of, like, conspiracy stuff. One, and this is, to me, it's all unfounded, and no one's really passed it off as being real, but, you know, Pritchard brought Bischoff in. It's like, well, did he bring him in to be a scapegoat? Or did WWE just bring him in just to fire him later? Like, that sort of stuff. Which you would hope not, but it is wrestling.
I mean, but yeah, like, they put him on SmackDown, and Fox just gave him, what, like, $1 billion? Well, I mean, that's been the biggest thing. It's kind of like how haphazardly WWE has been doing business the past few months, mm-hmm. knowing that these things were happening, and not even taking account AEW is like, oh, we just throwing stuff on the wall. And what bothers me about it, to bring back the NXT, is like, you see how NXT is run?
Oh, yeah.
And it's the same company. So I don't get it. Like, even, like, you know, how, not even, like, booking and anything like that, because, like, you know, you're booking at different audiences, whatever. Quality control. Mm-hmm. There seems like there is, it seems like there's a serious lack of, like, quality control in WWE proper. And that's been a thing, and now it seems like it's a big thing when it should not be a thing at all.
And it's like, I agree with you. It is, obviously, it's the same company, but at the same time, it's almost like it's a totally different department. To where these are like there's no oversight. All right, we're gonna do what we want with NXT and not worry about the main brand, unless the main brand affects us. Mm-hmm. And then also it goes back to the old man, you know, as they call him.
Yeah, I know, but like, his son-in-law runs NXT. Yeah. It's not like it's a stranger. It's the man married to his daughter. So
his grandkids with, yes.
Yeah, I'm like, I can see he was like some. I'm guy I work with, or some guy I'm not sure, but I'm like, if he ain't trusting Triple H, who is he trusting that's not last name McMahon?
Man, and can you imagine, I don't know, like, how awkward that be? Like, you're running something, and it is successful. I know AEW is beating it in the ratings, but, okay. And it's still successful. Like, it's probably still one of USA's highest rated shows. Mm-hmm. So you're like, all right, and then you're sitting around the dinner table, whatever, Sunday dinner, if they do that, whatever. So how are things going? Pretty good. How are things going on your end? Like, my stuff's fine. And you guys seem to be ones fledgling. So just, like, if there's an awkwardness to it. Okay.
I'm sure. I hope they don't. I would say, I don't know if they would talk about the dinner table, but who knows what they talk about the dinner table with that weird ass family. But no.
When so, Triple, you know, H, like, is the sanest guy. With his old track record, I guess.
No. One day we really gonna have to have a discussion about not just Triple H, because I think, like, Triple H, Sean Waltman, and Kevin Nash, and how people used to look at them and how people look at them now. Like, one day, somebody said, I don't know if you guys are going to do on Snuck Rant, have a conversation like how things have just changed, like perception and reality. Because there's no way in the world, if you thought about Triple H 10 years ago and you see how he was perceived and then see him now, that anyone would predict that.
Oh, no kidding.
At all. And I'm talking about a variety of, not just the fact, like, you know, talent-wise and him, because people knew he had a, like, eye for, like, wrestlers like that, but, like, talent, who he pushes, how he pushes things, how inclusive things tend to be. It's like, NXT is kind of like, I don't care who you are, what you are, we're going to use you the best of the abilities, we're going to, like, maximize your potential, and it's going to look organic. And you're not going, and, like, I watch NXT, and it's like, you know, I just see people of different body types, different backgrounds, just wrestling. And it's not a big deal. And it's like, this doesn't happen with it. And it's like, I'm used to it with NXT, but I'm like, this doesn't happen with anybody else at all. Nowhere else where it's like a thing, you know. So, but yeah, the Tegan Nox thing, I got two quick things. One, I'm glad she's back. It just seems like sad watching her move. And two, How they let her do a Shining Wizard with them heavy ass knee braces?
It's just like Adam Cole wearing a cast on his hand that was legal because they made him wear it. You know? So
I remember the big deal. No, I remember when Lex Luger was having his loaded forearm and they made a big deal about how illegal that was, and it was like the early 90s. She out there looking like War Machine.
Yeah.
From like the waist down, hitting people in the face with that heavy ass knee brace, and I'm like, this does not seem fair.
No.
I know it's wrestling, but I'm like, even in wrestling, this scene kind of like the role where they let them wrestle with the shoulder pads on.
Who has shoulder pads on?
No, imagine the role where it came out.
And okay.
It was hitting people with shoulder blocks and just stabbing people. Yeah. Like, yeah, so if that one was just. Yeah.
There's always goofy stuff. And that's why I want to bring up AEW, because AEW was supposed to be the alternative, okay? And the in-ring action, all right, it's a little different. The crowd's obviously different. Like, they go crazy for everything that happens, regardless how dumb it is. So they've had three shows, 3 weeks in a row. Well, I guess they called it the main event when it wasn't, but Moxley and Pac versus Paige and oh my God, Kenny Omega. This is just kind of the tip of this. Like, during the match, which this makes... Okay, my whole premise for this is we were told they were going to be smarter. It was going to be more of a sports presentation. They weren't going to do WWE stuff.
Well, they didn't tell you what sport, because they copied the NFL.
Don't. So,
yeah, I know. Soft spot right now.
Okay, here's the thing. They were kicking field goals, and I looked at Elise, and I go, they can't settle for field goals. I mean, they're on the road against Aaron Rodgers. 6 points is a one-score game. Anyways, so them getting screwed at the end, whatever. I'm kind of used to it, but it was just annoying. So anyways, get back to AEW. And it's happened every single week. The main event's been a tag team match between two teams of just guys put together. And then during the show, you get dumb shit that happens all the time that WWE does and gets just crucified for it. And it's like, we talked about it real quick, but like the very first night, Omega gets attacked by Moxley, and they actually addressed it on being the Elite or something like that. Which I'm like, no, that needs to be addressed on the show the next week, not 2 weeks later. And the ref's like, well, no one wants to see a DQ. Well, what kind of dumb logic is that? So you're trying to tell me if your sports presentation of a show, so if a UFC takes the same rule, some guy kicks the other guy in the nuts, like, well, no one wants to see a DQ. Like, this doesn't make any sense. But they did it again this week in the Moxley match. Omega goes under the ring, and why is there a barbed wire broom and a barbed wire bat under the ring? And he brings it into the match where you should have been disqualified. And the referee's just sitting there, and Jim Ross, who usually checks out, I wonder if they said something to him, he's like, well, the referee's getting out of Dodge, too. Like, okay, you guys can't say you're an alternative when you're doing the same stuff. And I know it was in Philly, so that's probably why, but...
Man, whatever. I saw a main event where, like, Jericho and Darby Allin, and half the time, he's wrestling with his arms behind his back, and I'm hoping, like, I hope he doesn't blow. I know he's done that before. I'm like, I hope he don't blow his shoulders doing moonsaults without protecting his arm, only for goofy-ass Jake Hager to come out again. So, my film, like, I've watched AEW for 3 weeks, and I'm like, I don't know. It's not like I don't know. It's people that I don't know and I'm trying to learn about. It's people that I know and I feel indifferent about. And it's people that I know I don't like. Like, they don't have enough people that I look forward to watching. And that's even a problem. Like, I'm giving it a chance. It's just different. I don't know if it's better or worse. I'm like... It's the perception around AEW is not matching what I see from a personal standpoint. Because the crowd's definitely into it.
Yeah.
And I hear about saying how exciting it is, and it's a breath of fresh air. And I'm like,
no.
If you say so, I'm watching. I'm like, They have a women. They had a women's match involving a Japanese wrestler the same time NXT is happening. Like, I'm watching. What match was it? Oh, I'm watching a match in Darby Allin did a moonsault at the exact same time Pete Dunne did his moonsault, his match. It's like, I'm watching. I know it wasn't on purpose, but I'm like, sometimes I feel like I'm watching the exact same thing in a different arena. And it just depends on how NXT, I have an investment in people because I know them more. AEW, I don't. With time, it may come. But like I told you before, it's too many people on there. They bring out there that I don't want to see. And it's like, cool. Y'all like it. Y'all like it. I'm not mad at anybody like AEW. I'm indifferent to AEW right now.
See, I'm enjoying it, but I'm enjoying it as I'm watching. But then it'll creep into my head about like they're bragging basically how we're going to be different and we're going to do this stuff different. And I'm watching, going, no, like it's basically a gigantic indie show every week, and that's fine. I mean, if that's what you're into, that's what you're into. It's cool, but it's just that arrogance that they were all putting through. And I just wonder if the WWE crowds were as hot as AEW crowds, if there wouldn't be a different perception of WWE stuff right now. Yes, and I know WWE stuff has really dumb stuff, but...
No. You know. It's WWE is always going to have the perception it has, no matter how success level, because they just... It's like the Yankees. They're always there. They're always going to be there. And it's kind of like... WWE only gets noticed in extremes. Like, the crowd has to be super hot for it to be noticed, for it to be hot.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you're just used, it's like, it's just a comfort level you're just used to. And it's, that's just the nature of the business. Because it just is. I mean, it's like, I'm watching AEW, I see, you know, old-ass Chris Jericho wrestling a skinny guy coming off on a skateboard.
Which is like, pretty cool, actually.
It's pretty cool, yeah. But I'm like, and... My friend, I was at Washington at work. My friend, like, oh, is that new wrestling? I'm like, oh, you know about that? I'm like, y'all heard some stuff because I was watching SVU and it got preempted for this. So, and she's like, oh, that's the same guy from WWE commentary. It's the same. I'm like, oh, no, he like, because you're talking about Jim Ross.
Yeah.
That's the last time she watched wrestling, like when Jim Ross was doing for Raw. So it's definitely like people, AEW's gotten like attention from like casual people. Like, is noticeable. And I remember somebody saying, you know, they watching TNT right before AEW was watching Age of Ultron. So it's like, you've seen that, so you watch it, that goes off wrestling. People who tend to watch that movie may probably, you know, stick around and watch wrestling.
Yeah, well, yeah, the lead-in's clearly better on TNT than it will be on USA. I can only see Chicago PD and just go, who watches this stuff? Or no. CSI or CSI, I mean, Navy, no. Whatever it's called.
NCIS.
That's it.
Because either NCIS or it's SVU, normally. So when it's like the USA ones, I mean, look, Silk Stalkins, rest in peace. So, but, yeah, it's just, I don't know what AEW. It's just, it's there. We'll see. WWE. We'll see with that too. Like, I'm not watching that. It's just funny. Like, Saudi. You know what's funny? They get in a show where they have Brock Lesnar wrestling Cain Velasquez and Tyson Fury wrestling Braun Strowman, and I don't give a damn about it.
I don't give a shit about that show.
You know how hard you have to work that you have a match involving two UFC legends and another match involving the heavyweight champion of the world, and people like, so what?
See, that's the thing with me. I don't care about boxing at all. So they're like, Tyson Fury is... Why do they keep saying lineal heavyweight champion, by the way?
So he technically... Boy. Beat boxing. No, quick person. He... Other sports today. He basically beat the last guy that was considered the undisputed heavyweight champion.
Oh, okay.
Because you know how boxing has all... Like, boxing has all these belts and everything like that. Like, he beat the last person that had the most belts.
Oh, okay.
Because it's kind of like three people running around that could call themselves heavyweight champion. And he seems to have, like, the most credentials.
Okay. All right. Well, that explains that. But, no, I don't care. Like, so, okay, cool. He's a heavyweight so it's not a sport I don't watch. Like, I'm trying to remember who the hell. Oh, it's a guy from Cleveland. Who's the UFC champion? Damn it, the heavyweight champ.
Stipe Miocic.
Yeah. Now, if it was him, I'd be like, okay, maybe I'd be a little more interested. I mean, but probably not.
Yeah, just like I'll say this: boxing's always been that thing, even during downtowns, because it's just like tradition, and people do know who Tyson Fury is. So it's like, you know, he's popular for a boxer. It's not just, oh, he's just the guy to have him be heavyweight champion, because he was popular before he was heavyweight champion, just because how weird and unique he is. This big 6'7" gypsy that says weird and
sometimes
sometimes stuff he shouldn't say. Like, he was already known for that anyway, and then the fact that it's like, you know, beating him was like beating the Undertaker. This is like a damn Rocky movie. So, but it's like, if you don't watch boxing, you don't care. The Kane Brock thing's like, you rushing that?
Especially with Kane having a knee injury.
Yeah, like, we know that whole thing. Like, we watch UFC, so we know Kane and Velasquez is a big deal. But if you watch SmackDown, you just see some tall guy with dad jeans and a knee brace. It's like, this Mayans, the Sons of Anarchy? Like, who is this? Who's this big dopey dude? And why is Brock Lesnar afraid of him?
Well, my thing also, this is just like an aesthetic, not aesthetic, I guess, but it's just an odd point to me. Cain Velasquez is American. I know he has, like, he claims, like, the Mexican heritage and that he's a big proponent of Mexico. He speaks perfect English. So it's just the strangest thing to me, to where they've made this decision to have him only, I guess, to have Reyes as mouthpiece. But it's just the weirdest thing to me.
It's like, you make, like, people, if you know who Cain Velasquez is, you know who he is.
Yeah.
So you know he speaks English. Like, we've watched UFC. He's not out there. It's not Canelo Alvarez. It's... That just goes my whole thing. Like, they need to stop. And they're doing weird things with that anyway. You notice that, like, you know, they have the Austin of Pain just cut promos with subtitles. They had Oscar Kairi just cut promos, period. Like, you don't know what they're saying, but the crowd gets into it. It's like, you get the gist of it. I don't know who decided to make that change. I don't know if Heyman is like, you know, whatever, let's just go with it. Just because it's like, they've handled that differently than they used to handle that before. They didn't have them talk, or they had somebody else talk. Now it's like, we're going to talk sometimes, or sometimes not. You get the idea. But then they have Kane out there, and it's like, you got Rey Mysterio as his mouthpiece. Rey ain't Ric Flair when it comes to mic either.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
all right, boys.
It was weird when they did with Akira Tozawa. It's even more weird with Cain Velasquez, because Cain Velasquez is famous.
Yeah. For the Kabuki Warriors, if we want to go there, I really like, that was always one of the coolest things she did, was when she'd be speaking English, and she would go nuts in Japanese, and that's how you knew you're in big trouble. So I kind of dig that. That's what she does now. Like,
Both of them do that, and before we go to other stuff, because we compare like wrestling sports, and people say, oh, you know, what? But I'm like, wrestling. You know how wrestling's different? Because imagine you was watching basketball, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like a Golden State game, and Steph Curry just spit some green shit in LeBron's face. And people watching, they saw what happened, and LeBron's running around blind. The ref's like, oh, I don't know, we're going to time out. And like, Mike Green is like, you know, some weird stuff happened. We'll come back to a commercial break.
Yeah. And well, also, you have to remember, he would have the mist all over his jersey as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know mist is part of wrestling, but I'm like, I just laughed the fact Oscar's just spitting this green shit in people's face. Everybody sees it, and no one's, the ref is like, maybe she has some Ecto Cooler. I wonder where this came from. Why is Becky Lynch writhing around the ground with green stuff on her face? I don't know. Must have been makeup. Ring the bell.
Yeah. Yeah. But hasn't it always been the thing with mist?
Yes.
Well, I mean, it's, I guess, always. Sometimes though, when the bad guys did it, they would count the pin really fast. And then you'd see the referee be like, wait a second, but it was too late. Because the referee's a stance.
And then it's like, you know, you can't. The thing is, like, the replay thing. It's kind of like, you know, when you see an instant replay,
yeah.
It's like, we all saw what. Like, I know it's like. It'd be like, why don't somebody just walk around and just hit somebody with a bat?
Yeah, well.
I mean, they've done that too.
Exactly. So, yeah.
No, so, right. And
well, it's
and one more.
Okay, go ahead.
One more thing. Why are we supposed to cheer for Seth Rollins?
I brought this up with Kevin. There's no reason to cheer for him. But
this man's a maniac. And storyline purposes, we can take the real life stuff out. But on storyline purposes in WWE land and on Twitter, this man's a maniac.
Yes.
That's like he basically beat up Mr. Rogers and burned down this house.
And and that's what I was trying to get across to Kevin. And I was tired, so I wasn't making my point clear. He beat up Bray Wyatt, who in this world is like, I don't know,
he's Mr. Rogers dealing with PTSD.
Yeah.
That's what he is in this world he's presenting. He's this nice guy trying to bring joy to the world, overcoming his demons. Sometimes he fails, but he's always trying. He hasn't done anything sinister or violent at all.
No, but the Fiend has. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was trying to get across, is like, he beat up the nice guy. That's why when he was saying, Seth, why are you doing this to me? Like that was real. That wasn't like him. Because Kevin said it was like in a monster movie where the guy acts all nice all of a sudden, but you know it's not real. And I'm like, no, I think in this case it actually is. That's the character now.
Yeah, it's like, I didn't do anything to you. Why are you doing this? Yes. And then it's like on Twitter tomorrow, I had to do what I had to do. No, you burned down that man's house.
You burned a set inside. So I'm guessing that was in a parking lot. At least I would hope. But
yeah, and I'm like, this is just making, like, he's like a maniac.
Yeah.
Like, he's serious, like.
Well, never mind. He beat him with a sledgehammer inside a
zillion,
Hell in
a zillion times. He's like, whoa, I'm not proud of what I had to do, but I had to do what I had to do. Why don't you just shoot him? I mean, you're taking that route. That's heel talk.
Yes.
Like, yeah, so I just wanted to bring that up. Because
yeah.
That really, they are not doing Seth. They treated Seth Rollins almost worse than they treated Roman Reigns and John Cena.
Well, he hasn't said suffer and succotash, at least.
I mean, he's trying to murder people and then say, well, you know, they pushed me that way. Like, we got on John Cena when he buried Wade Barrett under like 25 chairs. Imagine if he did that and then hit Wade Barrett 30 times with a sledgehammer.
And a toolbox, right?
Good Lord.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And then he burnt down the fun house.
Which, bastard. I'm wondering since he's... No, it was blue. Never mind. I was wondering if they were going to get a new one. Or, which would be kind of fun, if he just comes out and he's just in the burnt down set next week.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like just trying to recover. So maybe... But I was trying to figure out, the end of this part, is the Fiend kept flashing on the screen. Does that mean the Fiend has free reign now in the storyline?
I mean, at this point,
because that's what he kept them there, but like they had to let him out. Is that how it works? Whatever. It's so weird. He's still great. I actually watched Bray Wyatt was promoting Hell in a Cell. He was in character the entire time. So he was like, oh, Seth is a great guy, but man, the Fiend sure doesn't like him. Like, and the mm-hmm. newscast was some nerdy black guy. She's like, oh, well, I'll be rooting for you. And then the other girl, like, oh, just these soulless people. They have no idea what to do with these guys when they do stuff like that. It's great. But, so that's the end of the wrestling stuff. But I went to, real fast. When you mentioned sports entertainment, that's reminded me of this. I was going to hit you up last night, but the reception was spotty. They actually called went to the Charlotte Hornets preseason game against the Pistons. One,
mm-hmm.
those are some tall people, man. And I felt bad. Like, Andre Drummond, he's not an old dude. You just see these, like, 7-foot guys who aren't rails just lumbering back and forth. He was running the point on some of the plays. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, I haven't been to a basketball game in 30 years. But I'm going to go to a regular season game, because there were a bunch of people I had no clue
yeah.
who they were.
I always say football and basketball players are like different level humans. They're like damn mutants.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like, you know, You watch, imagine somebody 7'2" doing a crossover shooting threes. Like, what planet am I, like? And then you look at yourself, and then you go outside and look at some of the fans. Like, we're part of the same species.
That's my new thing, man. I see that stuff. Because like I was saying earlier in the show, the shortest guy on that team is my height, and I'm 6'2". And those guys just made him look like a dwarf. It's crazy. And I don't know, but it was fine. It was a close game at the end. It was fine. But I want to go to a regular season game so there's not 15 to 16 guys on the bench. That was pretty weird. So, but anyways, so I don't know. The big movie news, I guess, right now. Well, there's two, I guess, but we have a new Catwoman. Yes, I almost said it incorrectly. We got a new Catwoman for The Batman. That is one Miss Zoe Kravitz, who you astutely pointed out was in Fury Road, who I totally forgot she was in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that works for me. So,
then when they were doing the casting, it was funny. Like, they were going toward specific types, and Zazie Beetz was a front runner, but she had scheduling conflicts with filming Atlanta.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, she loyal to the show that made her famous, so. And it's funny because that's a show where all of them are busy. Like, the main four stars all work. So it's like, I don't know how they're going to work out that time. And anyway, it's not like something where we got to stop because the main star working. We got to stop because everybody's working. So, but it's funny where you're like, I don't remember. I'm like, you saw X-Men First Class?
Yeah. That was where, as I was talking to you, I was looking it up. And I was like, oh, yeah, her. And then it said Fury Road. I'm going, I don't remember her at all.
I'm like, she's the only black one.
I don't know. That movie was so drenched out, like color balanced, that it was all just sand in the white.
Everybody,
guy.
And most people had their face painted white like chalk. So find the one that had a second an inch of color. But no, like, she didn't have a lot of lines, so I could see how you missed her. But like, she's in there. That's a good choice. It's an age appropriate choice. She's a good actress. I haven't seen, what's that show? Pretty Little Lies or something? Big Little Lies.
I think it's Pretty Little Liars. Oh, no, or is it... There's, like, two shows that have lies in the title now.
Yeah, the one, the HBO one with, like, all the other women. Yeah, because she's on that. Yeah, she's on that, too. Oh, so, okay. I haven't seen that. So, you know, it's funny. Aquaman's stepdaughter is Catwoman.
Yeah, now we've got to get Lisa Bonet in something.
So, and, like, that's there. Congrats. You know, they've been busy with the casting. They've been, you know, working behind the scenes. The villain thing seems to be the, I don't know, it's like the Jonah Hill thing came out of money. Like, he wanted more than they wanted to pay. Like, when how every, like, all the scuttlebutt came out to be.
I know Jonah Hill is a star, but what's a movie that he was the star of? Like, that he cared outside of Superbad, but even back then.
Get him to the Greek. The one when he's like the babysitter, the one with him and Miles Teller, like War Dogs.
That was
like that.
Yeah, that was Todd Phillips actually, which I didn't realize. I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, anything else he's been like coast, like he's been like serious co-star. It's just different because he's just transitioned from like fat, you know, fat comedy guy to skinny serious guy.
Yeah, that's directly because of Wolf of Wall Street. So,
I mean, even before that, because like Moneyball, he was serious in that. Didn't he get nominated for an Oscar for that, like supporting actor?
Yes, he did. Yeah. Actually.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, it's just weird. Right here, like, yeah, Jonah Hill is actually like an accomplished actor, if not necessarily. You don't think of him, but movie stars, like, you know, he's in a lot of stuff people watch. I mean, look, they came to him; he didn't go to them. So.
Yeah, man.
I mean, that's basically how it works. It's like, you don't want to pay me what I want. All right. And it's funny, like, now they ask his friend.
Yeah.
And that's the even funnier Rogen, thing.
Like, as the Penguin. So it is the Penguin. So I'm guessing that's what Jonah Hill was going to be.
They said they weren't sure if he wanted to be the Penguin or the Riddler.
Okay. So, all right, so I am I keep seeing all these things where, like, David Tennant was supposed, like, all those pictures of David Tennant dressed up as the Riddler. And then, I guess these must be fan-made stuff. So, but I thought he looked badass as the Riddler. But I can't see Seth Rogen as the Riddler. Like, as soon as you say that, I'm like, maybe King Tut?
I mean, people couldn't think of Robert Pattinson being Batman until he's Batman. So,
yeah.
It's like one of those things where you don't know until you see it, and then if they're good and you see it, it's like, oh, I would have never guessed that. Like, some casting is spot on. Like, when they said Wesley Snipes is Blade, yeah. Because people didn't know Blade that much, and they know Wesley Snipes is cool, and then once you saw it, was fine. Some is like, you know, I don't know about Robert Downey Jr. You can think of anybody else being Iron Man now, because it's like, you know, they just hit that role. So it's kind of like, you know, it's, you don't know till you know. And they don't really miscast too much anymore, no matter what the studio is. They used to back in the day. Now it's kind of like, you know, because I was thinking about that. Do you ever look at the screen testing for Batman Begins?
No.
It was like a minute clip where they had Christian Bale, Cillian Murphy, and some other dude that was all, you know, they had them Bruce Wayne and Batman. And first they have, you know, Christian Bale doing his, like, okay, that's fine. Then they had Cillian Murphy. His Batman was fine. His Bruce Wayne way too, Cillian Murphy as Bruce Wayne did not work. Cause it's like, his face is too damn distinctive. It's like, this ain't Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
It's like a monster. This third guy they got, I don't know where they found him from. He talking to lines like he's on like a, not even like a WB show. That's an insult to WB, like some soap opera show. And I'm like, how did he even get a chance? Besides, he's just a white guy with a chin. Like, he had no screen presence. Like, nothing imposing about him. And I'm like, you know how they talk about casting? We never really think about what goes in the casting test. Yeah. And I was just curious, like, they made a good, I'm just thinking, like, how many movies could have been ruined if they make the wrong choice for a role?
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't happen much anymore. But there's always going to be someone that disagrees. Or like, well, this person should have done it.
So, okay. I mean, yeah, it's like, you know, it's like the Hugh Jackman syndrome. It's like, he was a great Wolverine. There's still people that have an issue because he was too tall. And I'm like, you're not going to find somebody 5'3", 225 pounds that can also act. They do not exist in real life. So you're going to have to make certain compromise. Like, Danny DeVito is not going to go on steroids for 2 years and be Wolverine. So,
what a hilarious thing to see, though. Especially if they make him wear the mask from the...
Yeah, Danny DeVito in that orange and brown suit. I'm like, no, that's not going to happen. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the Batman. I'm glad they finally getting around to making it. So,
yeah,
I'm just to see exactly how it turns out and how it plays in the DC. Because it's like, is it going to be separate? Is it going to be part of DC Universe? Like, what's...
I think it has
to be. But it's going to be kind of like, we saw the rest of them with Ben Affleck Batman. Mm-hmm. Unless they just play it off like it's the same guy, it is an age gap between Ben Affleck and Robert Pattinson. Like, it is. It just is.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know. There's no talk about this movie, but apparently they're making it still. The Flash, like, the rumor is it's Flashpoint, so that they're going to be able to change things.
Okay, but so, that's the whole thing. Changing what? Because if this comes out after Batman, then what's the point of changing stuff?
Unless they're doing non-linear storytelling.
Yeah. The whole point of Flashpoint was we're going to use an excuse to change Batman and Superman. You already changed Batman, and you're probably going to change Superman. So what's the point of doing a story? You're not going to change anybody else.
Yeah, I'm...
Whatever.
I know. I'm curious to see how this works out, but...
You know why I shake my head at that? Because you see how they handle on TV, and you see how they handle in the movies.
That's where I wanted to go with this, so yeah.
Yeah. Before, because we could finish with the Marvel. Because I saw clips that apparently Robert Wool is supposed to have a cameo in this. Alex from.
Yeah.
And I saw the picture they had, like, you know, Bruce Wayne, Mary Selina Kyle, and it's the Michael Keaton Batman.
Yep. And well, apparently there's a rumor that the Titans crew makes an appearance from the DC Universe show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if that'll just be like a picture or something. And then there's something else they're throwing in there.
They just going all in.
And it goes back to what you said. How can these guys... Like, and I know Greg Berlanti runs the TV stuff, all right? I know he's the exec. But they routinely get this... Like, they get it. And they're having fun with it.
Mm-hmm. You know the funny thing about that? Because people asked them, like, with Arrow, like, who thought the idea of, like, Deathstroke's... mask being on the island when the show first starts. Like, oh, well, we thought it'd be cool. You know, because they were like, we need something like spaced out the set. They're like, what about that? I'm like, oh, you know, that'd be nice. It'd be Easter egg. People into the fans, you know, people who be into the show and in the comics will appreciate that. That was the only thought process behind it. Because they was wondering, like, what does this mean? It was like, we thought people might like it.
Yeah, and boy, that, well, yes, they did. And that's also something you can get bite yourself in the ass doing that, too.
Yeah. No, they talked about the biggest issues they ran into with Arrow is, like, they didn't want to have a slow burn with storylines. Like, you want to drag stuff out. They like, no, when we go it, we want to push through it.
Yeah. Well, also, back then, too, they didn't know if they were getting another season or not. So,
I mean, the ratings were good for that show, so I don't think that was an issue as far as, like, I remember when Arrow came out, like, they had very, that was, like, CW's, like, highest, the second highest rated show. And season two had awesome ratings. So I think they was like, you know, we don't want to fall in the mistake a lot of shows do where they drag stuff like Smallville. We don't want to do that. So, but the problem ran through is like we burned through all the good stuff, so we had to struggle to find good stuff again.
Yes, and the Deathstroke thing kind of it worked very well on that show. And to be honest, so far, it's working pretty well in Titans, too.
I mean, it's just a cool character.
Yeah, and that's also another one where you got to get the casting right. And I think they nailed it twice. I think all three times they nailed it, but we just never got to see it. Well, at least we haven't yet.
Yeah.
We never got
they
a chance to see
it. They nailed it three times in live stuff. Yeah. And even on Teen Titans, they nailed it like...
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Ron Perlman just with his gravel-ass voice doing it. And it's just weird having him be the villain on that kid show. Like, I know it's part of the comics, but it's kind of like, that's a weird thing. No one...
His name is Deathstroke.
Yeah, and I'm like, he's tormenting a bunch of kids. Like, nobody... I know it's like, yeah, well, Batman did that too, but I'm like, nobody noticed that was a thing. But no, these, like I said, DC TV, they embrace what they are. They just get it. And they seem to be having fun with this whole Infinite Crisis. Like, we try and get as many people as we can. We try and cram as much stuff. And we just want to, because we want to have fun. Especially, you know, it's like the show that started is going to be gone. You're going to go out with a bang. You said, did you watch Arrow?
Yes.
What'd you think of it?
Yeah, that was okay. I get the feeling a lot of the Arrow episodes, or maybe this is just this one, but a lot of the Arrow episodes now are going to be saying goodbye. So is that the last time we're going to see Moira, Merlin, Tommy, all that?
They said they want to have each one like represent a part of his life, like from different seasons.
Okay.
Which makes it was just weird because one, like, you know, seeing Tommy back, seeing Tom with a beard, I'm like, he looks a. He looked like a completely different person. And then how they changed little stuff around, like, you know, one, so he's the Dark Archer. What's his face is the arrow on that thing. Josh, and him doing that voice was just throwing me off. I'm like, this had to have been a choice because it was just like he was half Arrow and half Batman.
Yeah. Well, and that was also one of the different differences. It was the Batman's cowl on... Lian Yu instead of Deathstroke's. So,
and then how they explain Thea, like, oh, she died.
Yeah, boy, she really doesn't want to be on that show anymore, huh?
I guess I would be shocked if she didn't pop up at least once, but if she doesn't, then she doesn't. So, and then I did get a laugh when he tried to escape out the limo again. And Diggle's like, and he's like, oh, okay, that's not the Diggle from that Earth. That's Oliver's Diggle.
Yeah, and I like fool me once, and then he's like, wait, what? And then the monitor told him where he was.
Felicity.
Oh, that's right, Felicity. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. So he's like, you know, trying to explain all this, you know, all this cosmic stuff. We're brothers. You know, you can't talk me out of it. Why are we still, we've been doing this for years. Just, and he's just like, yeah, you know, I can't talk you out of it. And then still try to put him to sleep. And yeah. then he still got tracked down anyway. It's like, it's kind of like making fun of like tropes that we already know. It's like, that's an episode for people who have watched the show and know how things go down. And of course, you know, Earth 2 vanishes. Hopefully, like, Jesse Quick was somewhere else because people asked about that.
Yeah, they kind of forgot about that, huh?
Mm-hmm. And then Laurel, you know, I like Laurel's new haircut. I like.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yes.
And I like her more as like that character than I ever did when she was just like, you know, the stick in the mud, cheating girlfriend.
I don't remember her being from Earth 2.
She went back to Earth. No, that was the evil one.
Yeah,
that was on Earth 2. Went to Earth 1, then went back to Earth 2 in the last season.
See, I thought that she, all right, and this is nerd stuff, by the way, but I thought she was from a different Earth.
Mm-mm.
All right.
She originally was. Like, she was, that was an Earth 2 one that they brought in. She pretended to be, oh, I thought I died and I woke up. When it's like, did Laurel bring back? Like, no, that's the fake, that was the fake evil Laurel pretending to be Earth 1 Laurel. And then she's walking around being a DA and nobody's like, oh, I guess she was just in a coma and now she got her job back. No, she went back to Earth 2 at the end of last season.
Okay. See, I could have swore she was from a different Earth that was like the villains. All the good guys, you know, were the villains, but
oh,
that matter. So.
You even got to see your boy Wild Dog with a suit.
Okay. One of my big complaints on these shows has always been they make the main characters not special by having everyone around them better than they are. That scene cracked me up. He takes out Renee and takes out
Dinah.
Yeah.
In like 2 seconds.
Yes.
Just puts him down some steps.
I love that. He's like, should I have a better teacher? And I was like, or your teacher sucks, whatever. And I was like, mm-hmm. That's better. So, but.
Yes.
So I'm guessing, like, that can't be, like, the end for those guys as well.
No.
I'm guessing they'll be back in some other episodes.
I mean, yeah.
I'm guessing at the end, like, when for all the crisis stuff, but
we'll see, because they still doing the future stuff. And I'm like,
which I don't care about.
Like, yeah, I'm like, I know why they're doing this. Like, you know, we do a show, it's there, you establish the show, but it's like, you only got 10 episodes left, and people don't care about the future stuff like that.
Unless it has some bearing on what's going on. They just haven't shown it yet.
It's just saying, like, you know, somewhere some bad stuff happened, now we're dealing with it.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay. Because when they popped up, I just went, what? Like, you guys are back?
But although I do laugh at the dynamic between the brother and the sister, because the brother's always like, we need to stick to the plan. She's like, I'm doing my own plan. And he just, like, so exasperated, like, you know, this bitch.
Yeah.
Like, every damn mission we go through this, I'm just trying to keep cool. And it's what? Okay, so which is one of them Diggle's son and one of them, like, what's his name? The Bronze Tiger son? Like, I'm trying to figure out who is who with the black kids.
Well, all right. So the one we're used to, let's go with that one, do it this way. That's Diggle's kid. That's Connor. Because remember they called,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The other guy, he said it's his brother, but they never. Like, they never said before he had a brother. So this is all new. I have no idea where he came from.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to figure out, like, who is... That's the problem. Like, I've just got an idea, like, who these other people are, because they've been pushing down our throat, and now they add new people. And it's like, man, the series about to wrap up. Like,
well, there are talks about them making a spinoff series with them.
I know. And it's like, you got hours to fill. So I know it's like,
Oh, no, go ahead, sorry.
I mean, it's kind of like, do we really want to go through this? Like, CW got stuff, just because Arrow's gone don't mean we're just going to have that Arrow, because, like, you know, we need something to replace Jane the Virgin.
Yeah. Well, and that's, all right, so this is my thing, and I guess this was kind of the crux of the reason for the episode. So, I know you haven't finished Flash yet, but what I'm going to say is not going to ruin anything for you. So the whole thing where Barry has to die, right? Like, you saw all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you saw like him disintegrating, which is straight out of the original Crisis. There is, like, I thought Cisco was leaving. I thought Caitlin was leaving this show.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't yet.
Mm-hmm.
So,
no, it's only been two episodes.
Well, what I'm getting at is, they wouldn't be pulling a fast one and having Flash end as well.
Nah.
Because the way they keep making it seem, and I know, like Joe, never mind, it may get into it, but there's a whole scene, you're like, okay, to where it's like, you know, she gets mad at him about giving up, whatever, but I don't know, it just seems so strange.
I mean, well, they gotta add stakes, and it's kind of like, they gotta make it seem like, you know, because people think, oh, they just gonna hand wave this away, and it's like, I don't think they can, because Arrow's leaving, Legends, if it stays, is changing, because a couple people are there leaving, it's like, it's in flux. You just can't, it's not this whole, we just do it, and then it's the status quo. It's like, you know, it's too many people already, like, leaving, or going to other things anyway for you to not take advantage of that.
Well, they said this is Legends' last season.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And are they starting in December? Like, is their first episode the Crisis episode?
I do not know. But it's kind of like we got five shows now already. Because we got Batwoman, Supergirl, Flash, Black Lightning, and Arrow. So it's like, you got a lot of, like, you have a lot of shows to keep up. Like, and even for me, it was kind of like, I had to play catch up, because I can watch Supergirl and Batwoman on Sundays, like Sunday night, you know, but it's like hard where, like, Monday you got wrestling, and then I can try to catch up on stuff on Tuesdays, not other shows, and I got to do it Tuesday, because Wednesday is like wrestling other shows, like, mm-hmm. And that's not counting, like, if any sports games come on.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was telling Kevin. My Saturdays are pretty much ruined because of college football. I watch that. And then, odd things upon odd thing is, she's into the NFL. Like, it's weird. She's like, are we going to watch Panthers game? I'm like, since when do you care? It's very weird. But, so Sunday gets eaten up. Like, we just caught off with Walking Dead, which it's time for that show to get put out to pasture. But we keep watching, so, you know, we're the dummies. But, yeah, so there's, like, so little time. Like, I just watch them all on the app. And I have forgotten to watch Black Lightning. I mean, I know the show still exists.
It's weird. It is weird now. Because it's, like, this went from this. No, I won't spoil what. Before, it's, like, you know, local stuff and taking care of the city and the schools. And now in a war with another country.
Well, yeah, they did kind of set that up with the Masters of Disaster.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, Freeland and Markovia. Now it's like Freeland's under, like, you know, martial law, and it's a curfew, and Black Lightning's in a lab, like in a lab somewhere. Like,
oh no.
No, it's just weird. It's like, if you watch Black Lightning season one and you watch this Black Lightning, you're like, what happened? Like, it's not that it's bad, it's not the same show it used to be. It's not a bad thing. It's just different. And
see, that's why I liked it, though, because it was different than the other shows.
But it still has the same, like, ethos and the same, like, backbone. No, it's not like the. It's still not like the other shows.
Okay.
It's just different from it used to be. It's more serious. It's handling stuff that the other shows handle, but it's, like, in a more serious way.
Okay. Well, that was what I always liked about it. That's what I plan on watching when we're done with this. But that's why I like the show. Like, what I've always said about it is, it's a show written by adults.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
I'm curious to see how they handle in the crossover, because I saw a picture of all of them took a picture together.
Yeah. I'm like, what? I don't like being that way, but I don't know. I'm very territorial with Black Lightning for some reason. Like, I don't want
them dealing with that kiddie shit.
Yes. I don't want it to fall apart. So,
I mean, here's the thing. If you do a crossover without them, then people are going to ask questions like, yeah. All right.
Especially if you're bringing in Michael Keaton's Batman's universe.
Yeah. That's, you know, it's funny. Basically, they having the Batman from the animated series playing the older version of the Batman from the Tim Burton universe. Which makes sense, because the Tim Burton Batmans inspired the Batman animated series.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that sentence somehow makes sense, even though it's like, imagine you watch Batman, and then one day it's like, okay, so you know the guy that played, you know, people play Batman. So we're going to use him, right? But he's going to be an older version from the cartoon voice, and it's going to be like the Flash and three different Supermen. And I'm like, huh? Like, you don't need to be drinking before 9 o'clock.
Well, it's like three different Supermen, and one of the guy plays another character on one of the shows.
Yeah, it's like, it's no way if you didn't follow comics or comic shows. Like, not only have to follow comics, you have to watch the shows. Like, this is like, we're taking from everything, and we're doing this. And it's like, Marvel did this in movie form to a certain extent, and no one ever did that before. Nobody has ever did this TV-wise. Nobody. Because it's almost like, it's just the rights. It's like, one, it helps that they're all under the same rights. But two, it's like, you take it from different networks, different shows, different... You take stuff from the comics, live action, and cartoons, and just put them all together. And knowing it's going to work, because the people who watch that's like, oh, I know this guy. I know this person. I know that. It's cool. Would you ever guess Tom Welling would ever be Superman again?
Yeah, no, well, he would be Clark Kent again.
Clark Kent again, because yes. It's like, no, he seemed like he was kind of done with that. Like, I hadn't even thought of Tom Welling the longest. And when they start talking about Christ, they're like, we need to bring Tom Welling. But I'm like, why? Did that many people like Smallville? And we were just the weirdos?
Yeah, because Smallville was super popular.
Yeah, so I have a lot of friends like that was this show. And I'm like, I almost never watched that show. I watched it a few times. I'm like, this is goofy. Yeah, no thanks. I never did. So, but it's like, that's the thing. And, you know, it started where it was like, you know, we get the old Flash to be in there. And then, like, Supergirl have, like, Terry Hatcher and, like, Erica Durant. Like, they would take old actors and actresses like that. And now it's just like, you know, Burt Ward? Robert Wool? Like, if Kim Basinger just walked by on the episode, I wouldn't even be that surprised. I'm like, oh, okay.
Now she's up to much these days, so it makes sense. I'm not ripping on her. I just...
It's just like, that's just the universe we in. So, hey, I'm glad that they're controlled by somebody that enjoys what they're doing and not being ashamed of it, which kind of leads into, like, the next thing we could talk about, speaking of people that enjoy what they're doing.
What you talking about?
The man that runs Marvel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He enjoys what he's doing because he's making a shit ton of money. And basically, Kevin Feige is now the head of Marvel.
Basically. He runs.
I mean, there's like no shitting around. Like, he comics, movies, TV.
He's animation.
It's all his baby now. Like, bizarro. It's bizarre. Like, where? I don't know. I've never done any research on the guy. But where did he even come from before this?
He was a producer. And what? He did other stuff. I mean, he just popped in. And, like, he wasn't a big name. He just became a name. Like, oh, this is the guy that holds things together. And his name first came up when he was beef with him in Perlmutter. Because he almost left. Because, you know, Perlmutter was basically a cheapskate that didn't want to do certain things. And Feige's like, I can't work like this. And a lot of actors like, I'm about to leave. And Disney head honchos was like, no, we're going to fix this. And instead of pushing Feige out, they gave Feige control, pushed Perlmutter into a corner, and magic happened. Marvel would look a lot different if they chose Perlmutter.
You know what? Yes. And sorry, I was looking up. Feige's had his hands on almost every single comic movie for Marvel. If you look under executive producer, animated, like obviously the Marvel stuff, okay, the Disney Marvel stuff. Then you go and he has his hands on Spider-Man 3, Fantastic Four, Rise of Silver Surfer, X-Men Last Stand, Fantastic Four, Elektra, Spider-Man 2, Hulk, the Ang Lee one, Daredevil, I mean, I'm leaving stuff out.
Yes.
So that's where he came from. Okay.
Yes, wow. He's been around, and now he's and they figure, like, you know, we're about to do Disney Plus. This is the next stage of, like, for Marvel. Let's have everything under the same umbrella, so it's none of that whole, you can stop asking us, is Kingpin going to show up in Spider-Man, or how come Daredevil's not here, or where people from Agents of the S.H.I.E.L.D., because they had to deal with all that crap. And now it's like, you know what? I'm running everything. So everything's on the same page. Everything under my quality control. So the people who are going to show up are going to show up the way they're supposed to. I have the sneaking suspicion that's why Ghost Rider got, that Hulu thing got changed.
I'm still, all right, I don't, this is where we don't know like how TV works, but I'm still confused why there's stuff on Hulu, why there's stuff here, why there's, like, I guess maybe one network doesn't want all of it, obviously.
I think it's, before their thing was like, you know, we want our more adult stuff to be on Hulu. Because it's not, because this whole thing is like, it's Disney, they own all of it.
Yeah.
So they can pick and choose how they want it, because it's like, it's something weird, the fact that they're still doing this Hellstrom show, and it's like Ghost Rider, we had creative differences. Y'all couldn't work as, did y'all really?
And also, I saw this Hellstrom show, and I'm like, who? Like, yeah. I don't know nothing about this one. But
I've heard the name, that's all I know, is like, I'm aware, and they going to, but I'm like, something seemed real fishy about that. Because, like, you know, we're doing Ghost Rider, we're using the same one from the S.H.I.E.L.D. show, we're excited about doing it, and then also it's like, oh, we couldn't come to an agreement, so we're not doing it anymore. And people was like, oh, I guess he's going to be doing it. You know what first thought people was? I guess he's going to be in the movies. He's going to pop up in like a Blade movie or something like that.
Because it just seemed
out of nowhere that happened.
And Blade, like, would make sense, too.
You know, Blade would make sense, and so would Doctor Strange would make sense.
Oh, yeah, true.
Because they've all rolled in the same circles, and it's like, and now it's something, okay, now Kevin Feige just runs everything. I mean, I don't have a problem with it. Like, I trust his judgment. You know what's funny? You remember that whole stuff about Spider-Man thing tomorrow? You know, well, one of the things with that is Kevin Feige too busy doing his own thing, and people are kind of like making fun of that. It's funny how that sounds now. It's like, where does this man have time if he's doing all this Marvel stuff and apparently a Star Wars movie?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, that's right. You mentioned the Star Wars movie.
Yeah, like, when is he going to sleep? Is he going to have the same sleep schedule as The Rock?
Well, that's why you get an assistant.
Yeah, because people first thought is like, is he going to take over for Kathleen Kennedy? They're like, no, she's staying. And then it's like, he's obviously not if he's going to be, has all this other stuff on his plate. That's a lot of stuff.
Yes. But it's so, I mean, at the same time, that's what some people like they thrive in, and like, especially with him, I'm guessing just from his history, looking up on IMDb, this has got to be a dream for him.
Mm-hmm.
So,
imagine you a kid one day is like, you know, I'm gonna grow up and I'm gonna be control of Marvel Entertainment.
Yeah,
that basically runs the movie world, because like comic movies run the world, and you at the top of the top. You know, it's like, when I grow up, I'm going to own the Yankees. Not play for the Yankees. I'm going to own them.
Yeah.
After I played for them. And it's like, he basically can do whatever, you know, for more or less, he basically can do whatever he wants. Like, if nobody has a green light, like, he got a green light. He can, what, that's how much cachet they have. That's how much money they got. And if you see some of the money thrown around certain people, have you paid attention a little bit? I guess we can wrap up. That's Apple Network.
No, I saw, what's that, Blind? Is that what it's called?
Sight or some, or C.
Yeah, and then that other show you pointed out, and I went, I didn't even know this was in development. Let alone, you know,
I saw how much money they're paying for that newsroom show with like Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon, and I'm like, iPhone should not cost as much as they cost.
Well, no, they shouldn't, anyways, but.
But no, they put, I think they said somewhere like, this show's going to cost somewhere around like $300 million for the first two seasons.
For a show about staying around in a newsroom?
Aniston and Reese Witherspoon's getting $2 million an episode, plus like, you know, plus like, you know, back points and stuff like that. Yes! And I'm like, kudos to them. Get the money if you can. If these fools throwing away money, take it. I have no problem with them getting paid what they pay. But I'm like,
if I'm in charge of like Apple,
y'all just must be bored. Like, money, when people say money to burn, y'all really got people. I hear that a lot of times. People are like, we got so much money, we don't know how to spend it. I guess y'all don't.
Yeah, I also hate that term. I'm like, no, trust me, I can figure out how to spend it. All I picture, and I know it's like a meme, but like, they're giving Jennifer Aniston $2 million an episode, It's like that scene in Dark Knight where Heath Ledger just sets all the money on fire.
Yeah.
That's all I got. That's all I got in my head.
I'm only burning half. I'm like, look, it ain't my money, but I'm just, that's a lot of money for a TV show. And it's not like it's a Marvel TV show. It's not like it's, what's, how much money, how much, how, why does the budget have to be that big? It's not a special effects driven show. That's the thing that's getting me.
Yes.
Why does it cost that much?
Unless it's something we don't know, and the newsroom takes place in space or some dumb crap like that, you know?
I mean, it's like, that's just insane. Like, Game of Thrones used to be, Game of Thrones, like, the most expensive show running, and even them, they had to make, like, budget cuts, and they had, like, some seasons, like, $100 to $125 million budgets, which is, like, you know, a lot for most movies, unless it's, like, comic-driven. That's insane for TV. People blown out the water now, like, between Lord of the Rings and this, and, like, Disney Plus, it's, like...
Curious how much that Jack Ryan show costs, which I haven't seen. I do kind of want to see that.
I do too, on season two. It probably ain't cheap, because it that's the thing with Amazon. When their prestige shows don't look cheap. Like, because I know Man in the High Castle doesn't look cheap. And when we saw The Boys, it's like, for the most, dads look like they spent some money on that. So, and it's Amazon. They got... Money's, that's the whole thing. It's just funny talking about budget. It's kind of like, do they even care?
Yeah.
Because they act like they don't. That's like, we spend a whole lot of money just to get a footprint in, because it's worth it. Like, I remember how much Disney spent for Lucasfilm. They made that back in like a year.
Yeah, because they had the one Star Wars movie made.
Yeah, like between that and the toys, it's like, we straight. It's almost kind of like, you know, you spend a lot and you printing money. Like, Disney... listed all those shows that I have on Disney Plus, you'd never be able to watch all that.
No, and that's...
like, people forget. I was just amazed, like, how much stuff they own. Like, between that and the Fox stuff and some of the stuff they still working out, it's like, people made jokes about how you would have to, you know, watch the network for, like, 20 years, 24 hours a day to catch up on stuff. You have to be, like, 200 years old to watch everything on Disney. Like, I'm sick. Like, it's just way too much stuff. And I'm like,
yeah.
Who has time? Who has time? If you have a job and or a family, who has time to watch all this? Jeff Goldblum has a show. I had no idea.
What show? What's
on Disney Plus? Living Life with Jeff Goldblum. I forgot the name of it. He's going to have a brand new show on there. I didn't even know. So it just popped up.
Oh.
It's like people just have shows. Yeah. People just have shows. You didn't even know they had a show. And it's like, oh, yeah, it's a show. It just exists and everything like that. But then it's a universe. You know, Jason Bateman had this awesome Breaking Bad style show for two seasons. And I just found out about it last year. Ozark.
Yeah, Ozark? Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about Ozark.
It's an excellent show. And I found out about it by accident. That's the universe we live in, where these great shows happening, where it's like, you know, you hear about it because somebody talked about it, or you just happen to watch it one day, and it's like, oh, this is a thing. It's a show on Epics with Forrest Whitaker, and it's like a gangster show. It's like him and somebody else, and it's like Bumpy Johnson working with Malcolm X against the Irish Italian mob or something. I'm like, huh? Yeah, I'm like, and it looks all gloss, you know, it looks glossy and high rate and stuff like that. I'm like, how would you know about this? Like, it's just these shows. It's like, you can't, it's too much. I'm just gonna say it is too much. Like, enough's enough.
But someone's gonna watch it, you know?
Somebody's going to. And like, everyone wanna have a streaming service, everybody wanna have a slice of the pie. It's like, I can only watch so many things at one time. I just realized, oh, Mr. Robot came back 2 weeks ago.
What night is that on?
I think Sunday.
All right.
That's because I'm like, my DVR, the only reason I knew it came back, I would go to my DVR list and say Mr. Robot. I'm like, I didn't even know what night it came on. I didn't even know it came back. It's like, it's been two episodes in.
All right, because I saw somebody like doing reviews of it. I'm like, what are you reviewing for? You got the early release? So, all right, well.
And I would just say this. I watched some of the first episode. The first 3 minutes of the first episode, I'm like, well, you know, that show's like, wow, they did that.
Okay.
And I know it's the last season anyway, yes. So it's like, no, we're going to wrap up. Might as well wrap up because it's like, yeah, Rami Malek's a movie star now. We can't keep him anymore. So.
That's all. No, so. Well, I'll be out of town for the next few days, but yeah, I need to catch up on that. So hopefully Monday.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, because my USA thing, I see that on there. I see this Treadstone show that people who liked said that they liked it. The Purge came back, so I guess they got a second. I thought that was just going to be a one season thing. I guess not. So
I think The Purge probably works better as a show anyways. If you want to get into universe building, you can't do it in movies. So
that's true. It does. It's just so many. It's just so much stuff. Like now, the CW stuff is, yes, you know, it's back now, and basketball starts next week.
I was talking to Kevin about it on the Sun Cranny show. I mean, dude, I haven't slowed down in my wrestling watching, but now all the CW shows are back. And honestly, I'm trying to figure out like what other shows I really watch. So it probably helps. Like Titans is every Friday, that sort of thing. But after a while, if I couldn't like listen or watch the stuff at work, or if I didn't work from home, I couldn't keep up with anything.
You know? I'm jealous of y'all. I don't know, because I can't do that. I can only do that at work if it's like weekends or nights sometimes. Like I can watch wrestling at on evenings. Like thank God USA and TNT has live TV. That allows me to watch that, because otherwise I'd miss out on that too. But I'm like, even with shows being canceled, because like, you know, No More Gotham, No More The Gifted, and anything like that, it's like, it's shows I used to watch, they don't show anymore. But you know, now it's like Titans, you know, like, and I watch that, and then this show comes, and this is like, you know, it's just gonna get worse in November when Disney Plus pops up, and then we got to watch a Star Wars show and four Marvel shows, and it's like whatever else they add to that crap, and then CBS All Access adds a new Star Trek show, and it's like, what?
Yeah.
Go to hell. Like, stop giving me the stuff I want.
There's a big world out there I got to go enjoy. So, but, I mean, like I said, well, we don't have to watch, but it's, you look at it, and the curiosity factor always gets people.
Yeah. It's not like, you know, I have to watch, but it's like, it's stuff that's good. Mm-hmm. And then you get caught up into it, and then, you know, like, I did that with, like, Billions. I'm almost finally caught up, and then all these new shows popped up. You know, like, I'm watching Billions. I'm like, oh, I'm going through season 3. Oh, what's this show, Thief? This show, Jet, with Carla Gugino? That's cool. I'll go ahead and watch this. Oh, now I got to watch this show. Oh, what's this new show on such and such? I heard Jeremy told me about it. Let me watch this. Oh, you know, this Netflix show's on there. You got to catch it up. There's only 30-minute episodes. And then next thing you know, you got 14 shows. That's like, you know, in the queue that you're thinking about watching. You started to watch and go back, and then it's like, if you like comics, you like genre stuff, and you like sports and wrestling, you're not going to have a social life unless you've given up a lot of that stuff, because it's like, it's something all the time that comes on regular TV, and then with these streaming services, it's always something.
Yeah.
Always.
My Netflix queue is basically a wish list. All right. It'd be pretty cool if I could get to this ever. Oh, that'd be pretty cool if I could ever get to this, and I never do. So,
yeah, that's why people say, oh, you ever watch The Office? When would I have the time? I've watched 3 episodes. It's funny as people say. I'm like, I don't have time to invest in this. Like, I'm halfway through I'm like two seasons behind on The Good Place. And that's only like 15, 16 episodes, like 12, 13 episodes a season. Office was on for how many years?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Like, I'm supposed to watch this. And then Hulu has a Wu-Tang show. Like, and I'm like, one, how is that a thing? And then two, it's like, I'm so mixed. I start watching the show and I'm learning so much. Like, I don't got time for this shit. Like, why did I even bother? So,
well, Elise is watching The Handmaid's Tale, and I haven't watched it. So I'm not going to comment on its quality because I haven't seen it, But all that show sounds like is people dying and screaming, or crying and screaming. That's all that show sounds like to me.
That's what I watched. I already watched Man in a High Castle. I don't need to watch another depressing show. So, and that comes back, in November for its last season. So thanks, Amazon Prime, because, you know, whatever. Fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm just mad. Like, I don't, I guess we, you know, it just sounds weird that we're complaining about this, because it's like, it's never been a time where it's been so much entertainment at the palm of our hands that we can enjoy. But the problem is, it's just too much.
Do you remember the old days where something would come on and be like, man, that'd make a really cool movie? And now it's like, man, that'd make a really good TV show.
Mm-hmm. It's the reverse.
It's the exact opposite now.
Oh, yeah, it's like John Wick. It's like, oh, you know, and then that's what you get. You get a John Wick TV show.
Yeah. We didn't even talk about it. We can talk about it next week. We didn't even talk about Batwoman at all.
Oh, you mean, or the spinoff? I don't know. Like, the idea is fine. It seemed like it was an idea that they glommed on to the John Wick universe. Len Wiseman is, you know, hit or miss.
Yeah.
When they announced the director, I'm like, you know, like, he ain't even married to Kate Beckinsale anymore, so.
Why are we giving this guy the time of day?
Yeah. It's kind of like, I don't, his type of action ain't the thing anymore. Like, he was cool when he was doing it back then. We're at a high caliber of action. It's like, it seemed like you diluting the brand by bringing somebody like him in there. It's like, when they announced the director, I'm like, I don't know. That made that face. I'm like, I don't think he's good enough for them.
Unless, you know, I was going to say going with something different, but I mean, why would you go with anything less than high quality?
One thing about John Wick is that one of the main things is they're technically excellent. Like, it's a level of expertise that people expect from them that's kind of messed it up for everybody else, where it's like, if you ain't your A game, don't bother, because you're going to look bad. And a lot of, like we talked about before, a lot of movies they don't do anymore. Because, like, you know, them Liam Neeson type movies, you notice we don't do them that much anymore, because it's like, they don't hit like they used to. Because, like, we, you know, you used to Hamburger Helper, then you had Steak. You ain't in a rush to go back to Hamburger Helper. I mean, that's basically what happened with that. So, I mean, like, good luck if they wanted. It was one more thing I want to talk to you about, and I was, because it was related to that, and I can't even remember. Did you see the trailer for that Ryan Reynolds Netflix movie?
No.
Oh, you have not? Oh, the one Michael Bay directing?
No, but I keep seeing a trailer for that Paul Rudd show. And every commercial break on the CW app is that Paul Rudd show.
I haven't seen one. I've heard about it. I haven't seen one trailer. But no, yes, Michael Bay is back, and he's making a movie on Netflix starring Ronald Reynolds, starring, what's his name, Melanie Laurent from Inglourious Basterds, and some other people.
Oh.
About billionaires who faked their death to fight crime.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And it's like, I'm like, boy, it just made Bad Boys 3 look a whole lot worse. That's the first thing I thought. Because I keep telling people, say what you want about Michael Bay, it takes talent to do what he does. Because when people who are not him try to do it, it doesn't look the same. It don't. So I'm curious to see, because, like, Ryan Reynolds is the thing, and I still haven't seen that Benghazi movie Michael Bay did.
No, I haven't seen it either.
And I've seen all his other movies. So, maybe, is it on Amazon Prime? It's probably on Amazon Prime. I got 4 days off. It's on something. Like, I got 4 days off. I'm sure it's on something. So,
well, you could spend that time catching up on The Office.
Yeah, you know, I can only see Den of Thieves so many times. And,
well, it's only on every other hour, so
I mean, people watch. That's one of those shows where that's one of those movies. It come in the background, you just watch because, like,
yeah,
it's meatball heat. But it's, if you're gonna copy a movie, heat's not a bad place to start.
All right, gang. On that note, check out Den of Thieves playing at 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 today on your local Cinemax station. So. Yeah, we will be back next week, and we'll talk some Batwoman and catch up on The Flash too. So, since you can finish it out, and then I'll catch Black Lightning as well. But so yeah, so just listen to us, find us on iTunes, audio updates, that's Stunt Granny. That's what you can look for. I'm out of here and have a good weekend.
For Jamie Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and stop with all these damn shows. We are out.